Hey there, welcome back to the Dad Pants Podcast. Stu here and Monty there. Hello, Monty.
Hello, mate. How you doing? How was your Father's Day?
Look, I had a great Father's Day. I got some nice presents. I got some homemade pizza made for me. I played some games with my kids in the afternoon. And then, got a curry. Had a curry and a beer in the evening.
So that's, go on then. Nothing
that's
wrong
Father's
with that.
Day, right?
What kind of curry did you get into, mate?
Well, we've got children, so we had to have butter chicken. That's the gateway curry, as we've discussed before. But
perfect way to describe it.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, actually, I do have a little bit of a problem with that. It's not really a gateway curry. A lot of people get stuck at the gate. A lot of people don't go on from the butter chicken.
Well, I'm probably one of those. Like, I will eat other curries, but I do want butter chicken. I want it.
Oh, yeah. It's very nice.
Probably, you know, could have fit some more stereotypical dad events in there if I tried hard enough, but I wasn't trying hard enough. And that in itself is a good Father's Day. So how was your bloody Father's Day, mate?
Mate, it was bloody brilliant. First Father's Day will be one I will never forget. My beautiful daughter and my beautiful wife were so lovely to me. We had a lovely day together, had a nice breakfast, which funnily enough, I ended up cooking for myself because Lynn started, but then had to feed little Augie.
Yeah,
but that's right. Fine.
Don't skip over that. What was breakfast?
Yeah, it was nothing too. It was just bacon, eggs, and a bit of homemade hash brown. Hmm. But the homemade hash brown was just potato.
Yeah, I was going to
say, when does a potato become a hash brown?
Flat?
Yeah, not even that. Just chopped it up. It's
oh,
just
okay.
Potato.
Mm-hmm.
I find sometimes when I do a hash brown, if you chop it very, very, very fine, little cubes, then you've got a hash brown.
Yeah.
But no, awesome. Had a lovely day. I got a mug that says Best Father in the Galaxy, and it's got a picture of Mr. Vader on there, Darth Vader,
right.
Which is good.
Probably not the best father.
No, but it's, you know,
it's not an indication of where your fatherhood is going, is it?
I don't know. There's not much evidence of how Vader was to Luke as an early child, is there?
Well, absent.
Was he absent from day dot?
No, I'm pretty sure he was.
He wasn't there for a couple of months? There was a funny kind of...
Well, look, if any colossal nerds are listening and want to clear us up there, please write in.
They love being called colossal nerds too. nerds are dads too. Well, some. But yeah, had a lovely day. I had a lovely time where I got to play a bit of video games. Augie fell asleep on my lap. My wife got me a beer and I got to sit there in a nice chair, play some FIFA and cuddled with my daughter. It was lovely.
Oh, that's the way. That's the way. And we got some good feedback for our Father's Day episode, I have to say. So thanks to everyone for listening and reaching out and giving us a bit of comment. I did ask if anyone had any good or bad Father's Day presents they wanted to tell us about. And we had one person respond, which is, you know, we've got people responding to us privately, but not many publicly, but that's okay. We'll remedy that. We'll encourage people out. We'll lure them out. Just like, no, I won't say that.
Yeah, it could have ended badly. Lure them out like it. Yeah, okay.
But I just wanted to ask you about this quickly because you might know more about this than me. Listener Devin Musso, I hope I'm saying that correctly, Musso, his answer was a side-by-side. And I had to say, you know, what the dickens is a side-by-side? And it's like a little, you know, Jeep, like a little buggy that people go take hunting or off-roading. Have you heard of this before?
Sick. No.
Oh, right. Well, you
Devin
worked for
Musso.
A hunting. You worked for a hunting channel in Canada for a while there. I thought you might have.
I did. A side-by-side. Let me have a look at an image of this because maybe I know it as something else.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, no, I know, like a side-by-side fridge. Oh, no, I see. Yeah, I see what it is. It's those little quad buggy things.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool. Yeah. That's a great present.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's a pretty high end of the scale. We're over here in Australia, we're talking about getting mugs and key rings, but getting one of
good
those
pair
is
of socks. I got socks as well, too. I got some good socks, which was
white.
Cool. Yeah. Yep.
Great.
Sport.
It's a good dad sock.
White sport sock.
Yeah.
It's a good sock. Good dad sock. yeah. No, other than that, nothing that comes to my mind from good. Like, I can't remember giving my old man anything good. I got my old man a couple of cocktails delivered to his house this week. I don't know if I mentioned that on the episode.
Not on the episode. You told me privately that I should go and get some. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a charcuterie board and a couple of cocktails dropped over to the old man's house, and he enjoyed those, which was nice.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we might get into the pants panel chat. What do you say to that?
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Yeah. Oh, mate. I don't know. I just want to talk more about your Father's Day. And I know not much happened, but it's such a big event. It feels like I should be talking about it more.
Well, here you go. I got some more to tell you. I got given a chain, which feels very fatherly. It feels like I went from young man to dad with this chain.
Really?
Yeah.
It's gone. Well, we'd have to put that to committee. Is chain daddish?
I suppose. Maybe it's more of a it feels like an Eastern European dad or a Central European dad kind of thing.
I didn't want to say that, but yes, that's where I was going.
Yeah, that's all right. Nothing wrong with Central European dads. Some of the best dads.
There's nothing hanging from the chain right now, but is there some sort of Stein little medallion thing or something you could hang off there?
Or what about one of those, like, those Italian little red chilies that are supposed to bring luck? That's very Central European dad. A cross of some sort, Coptic.
Speaking of lawnmower, bloody every man and dog had his whippersnipper out here today. I don't know about your area, but is it because all the dads were bludging on Father's Day? We're recording this the day after Father's Day, so they've all done their Sunday mowing on Monday. I'm trying to bloody work in here.
Well, the whole week's out of whack.
Yeah.
You know what it is too? The sun this weekend had a bit of a feel of spring, didn't it? That's a good thing. Do you get that most Father's Day? That's new for me. Father's Day is like, oh, spring's here.
Yeah. Or they all got new whippersnippers.
I heard you saying on the intro that I wasn't a part of for the Father's Day thing about why Australia has it on this date rather than other countries.
Yes.
And I thought it was more that Father's Day is seasonal rather than calendar based. So everywhere in the world should have Father's Day in spring.
Right. But is that some sort of tie in with, you know, vibrancy and fertility or something like that? Is that what you're trying to get at?
Perhaps for every, you know, spring represents, you know, new life, birth, stuff like that. And, you know, what do we know about all new life? Has a father.
God, that's bloody deep, isn't it?
Yeah, you can just stuff Mother's Day somewhere dead in the middle of winter. That's fine.
Well, it's kind of, you know, late autumn-ish here in Australia, so.
Well, Mother's Day is the same all over the world. I don't get that.
Is it?
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? It's like Mother's Day same everywhere. Father's Day.
Who's sorting this out? Like, who's the day choosing arbiter? Because
it's weird. I don't know what that's about.
I mean, you know, we could, if we had any kind of time or energy, get a petition going, some sort of public movement. But do we care about it that much?
Yeah. No, but I mean, what would the movement be to change the date?
Let's get some uniformity. There'd be a lot of polling. We'd have to go over to all the kind of Northern Hemisphere countries and say, listen.
You think it's some kind of international coalition of dads?
Well, yeah, but they over the, you know, Canada, UK, US, it's June 4 or something like that. So early June.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's summer, kind of start of summer over there. Maybe that's it, kind of when the barbecues can really come out.
Oh, yeah. Should be barbecue related.
It might be hard to get them to change to our date, so we might have to go to their date, but that's bloody middle of winter. Is happening in the middle of winter? Apart from
mothers,
you know, getting fire pits going.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Mother's Day is the second Sunday of May every year all over the world.
Mm.
That seems more kind of biblical, like Easter.
Like Easter, yeah. But we've got first Sunday. Oh, it's all over the shop. Who's deciding this? All right, look, I'm going to give this up because this intro is starting to get a bit out of control. Let's go and chat to the pants panel, Monty, and we'll maybe we'll get a petition going later.
It's a lot cheaper than you'd think to move a house. In America, at least, they seem, it says here, like the article is, average cost of moving will scare you. But then it says, on average, it costs between $12 to $16 per square foot to move a house.
What?
That's nothing.
But hang on, how far? But why is it by square of house, not by distance of movage?
Well, I suppose the problem is getting it up.
Once it's up, you're good.
You know, it's just petrol costs once you got it up.
I suppose.
I don't know. But yeah, it says it's relatively easy.
But how much would it cost to fill a tank of a truck that can carry a house?
That's a good point. That'd be quite large. There's another question here that says, can you move a skyscraper? And it says no. It says no, skyscrapers are simply too big to move.
All right.
That's fair.
Thank you, Google.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's not too expensive. We could move houses if we wanted.
Ah, that's good.
Well, could you work out a house trade with a mate of yours? Just, you know, every decade you trade houses.
Of course you could.
Yeah, nice.
You know, the grass is always greener, so you just wait till that builds up a bit and then you just keep swapping houses.
Fuck yeah.
All right.
Fuck yeah. Sorry, I just wanted to point out that the Cudacom building in Bogota, Colombia was 8 stories high and they moved that 95 feet.
95 feet? That's not bad. What do you consider a skyscraper?
Oh, not bad.
How high up do you have to be to... Well, what's a building and what's a skyscraper?
Yeah, what do you consider scraping stories. The sky? 10.
Yeah.
10 stories? But so a 9-story house is just a house and then a 10-story is a skyscraper?
Well, look, I'm just having a guess, but let's go with yes.
Okay. Well, I believe you. Oh,
10 stories and you're scraping the sky, says Ben. What do you think?
That's right.
I've looked up the definition. It says a very tall building of many stories. Right.
Well, 10 is many. 10 is many. If you had 10 of something, you've got many of something.
10 is many.
That's right.
10's pretty good. That's 40 metres. That's a good size building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if we should.
Oh, Buckland, that was really. You were not on board with the ten stories.
40 floors.
40 floors is a skyscraper. Fair enough.
A skyscraper is a high-rise building with over 40 floors.
Says who?
I've gone even further than that. I found something called the World's Littlest Skyscraper. Now, I don't know why it's called the World's Littlest Skyscraper. It's in Wichita Falls in Texas, and it's 40 feet tall.
Why is it the world's littlest skyscraper on the prairie?
So surely something in the Smurf kingdom could quite easily qualify for that as well. Like,
why is it... Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It's a town of little people. I
couldn't possibly imagine a context where the Smurf Kingdom was going to be mentioned in this or any of our podcasts.
Where the phrase, world's littlest skyscraper, became a Smurf reference.
I like this next line that says, buildings with 10 to 20 floors were first referred to as buildings.
All right.
Yes, they are buildings. They're not skyscrapers.
Well, we better start talking about some dad stuff, otherwise we just need to reclassify the podcast altogether.
Yeah.
Into heavy building ballers. Design.
I think Bunch I could do a standalone Google. I think I could do a standalone episode on the world's littlest skyscraper. It sounds pretty interesting. but back to the fun.
Pants panel are back in the skyscraper, I wanna say. How are you all, gentlemen?
Good.
Very well, thank you. Stuart.
Very good. Okay.
I yawned too. That's all right. Funny.
Everyone have a pleasant Father's Day, did they? Everyone had a good Father's Day?
Delightful.
I had a big steak, and that was good.
Oh, yeah? Self-cooked?
Nice.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
How big? How big was this steak?
It was about 1.2 kilo with bone in.
Oh. Would you trust anyone else with cooking it? Probably not, right?
No, that's exactly right. That absolutely would not happen. So,
hey, what? 1.2 kilo with bone in.
Yes, so it's a tomahawk.
How much with bone out? Yeah, yeah, but like, so that's a lot of meat.
Sorry?
So don't be disgusting. Don't ask him how much it is.
I just wanted to know how much. No, I wanted to know how much the bone
weighs. How is he going to have an answer for you, Monty? That's my question.
I didn't
weigh the bone following eating it.
Or post-cooking, so.
Richard, did you weigh the bone?
Did you weigh the bone?
Oh, I should have kept the bone and weighed it afterwards. No, sorry.
How else are you going to know how much meat you ate? listen, that's a little bit of sizzle. We might talk a little bit more cooking later on. Yes. And quite literal sizzle by the sounds of things. So, All right. So before we talk about that, let's talk about some dadictotes. Has anyone got anything that they wanted to share with the group from their dad life in the last week or two?
I do have something. I tried something new tonight.
Was it putting your phone on silent?
What? Brutal.
No, it wasn't. Just bear with me for one moment while I put my phone.
No, I'm joking. I don't care if it's on.
I tried some new facial cream. Like, I've actually tried to take care of my skin.
Okay, is this for the first time ever?
This is actually for the first time ever. Nice. And I got to a point where I thought, I'm 42 years old and spend a lot of time in the sun and still get a lot, like, still get like the occasional, you know, ginormous pimple going on.
Really?
And I thought, you know what? I'm not doing anything for my face. So,
but what's your face doing for you as well is the question.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Ask not what your face can do for you,
but what you can do for your face, exactly. And so I did what any self-respecting father would do. I got a free sample from Instagram. Now,
what?
I'm actually pretty happy with the results.
This sounds like
I'm not.
I'm feeling like I'm being influenced here. Now,
not at all.
Are you influencing us?
I was going to say, I'm happy for beer influencing.
You have to tell us when it's sponsored content.
I'm feeling betrayed at the moment. Well, free sample.
I'm going to make a jingle for it, and we can do it. Put it in post. But it was something that I did for myself. It's something that I've always sort of thought, you know what? I'm going to try this, and I feel better for it.
Okay, and so. Have you used it a few times or just the once?
Well, just that this is tonight was the first time that I used it. So it came in the mail, and this was something that I sort of been working on over. And you know, you sort of look at these ads and you go, "Nah, it's all bullshit." And then one night, maybe I had a beer or two over what I should have had, and then just went, "You know what? I'm going to get some of this stuff."
Okay.
And it arrived, and away we went. Now, I'll report back in a couple of weeks and see how it's gone. But at the moment, you know, night one, the only issue I've had is that because I've got really dark skin under my eyes, I did the little thing under your eyes, but I think I've gone too close to my eyeballs and now I have solar eyeballs. Because I think I've gone a little bit too close to the sun.
Oh, I've done that before. And you know what? I'm probably the reverse of you. I was putting on some face stuff, you know, maybe for like a few years there. And then I've pretty much given up now because I think I've come to the realization that I'm starting to look my age and why bother?
Yeah.
I think I come from an Irish background and live in Australia. Oh, yeah, I'm fucked. Like, my skin's fucked. Like,
I'm with you, Monts. Yeah, I've never even, like, you know, and to the point where... Yeah, I've only just started having haircuts.
Yeah,
so nice. That's about as much beauty regime that I've ever had.
I think in this oppressive sun regime we live under in Australia, you need to start preventatively very early to look after your skin as a bloke who enjoys being outside.
That's yeah, fair. I agree with that, but I think we're in the age bracket where there wasn't enough of that going on when we were kids.
Absolutely. And I'm petrified for my children, and because I can see their skin is already starting to deteriorate, like not necessarily from a sun perspective, but just from a crap skin perspective.
That takes me to a good dad point. My wife thinks that our baby girl August has a few of the same wrinkles that I have. Like when she smiles, her face creases in the same way that mine does. Is that a thing? Is that, do you pass that on, or is that just she tripping?
Do you pass face crinkles on?
I'd say so. It'd be how your cranial and muscle structure works around it. Yeah. So I'm assuming it'd be fairly, it'd be a genetic, it wouldn't be that genetically she's got your smile, but she's got
something there,
the makeup of your
face.
Even the structural elements. So if you think about the paleo artists who go back and recreate the bog men from their actual...
I do think about them.
I think about that a lot.
Think like, about the bog men.
That's where I got this facial cream from. It's called
bog man.
The bog man. That's all right. Yeah. I'm feeling better now.
What I always love about the bog men that they find is the theory that, you know, that perhaps there was just one bog man who was thrown in the bog because he looked fucking weird. But now paleontologists think this is what everyone looked like.
That's very funny.
But ironically, being in a bog all that time, great for his skin.
Very good for his skin. Preserved you beautifully.
Doesn't look a day over 4,000.
It's very peaky.
Oh, Mungo, man. Yeah, right, the skin. Well, I didn't know there'd be so much skincare chat.
Yeah, that's right. We look forward to hearing the progress of how your face looks on an audio podcast.
I've got photos.
Oh, it's photos. Oh, are you going to share them? Share them to the Facebook page?
I'll put them on the Dad Pants page.
Nice. Well, it sounds like you're going to have to join our Dad Pants Facebook group if you want to see Wigan's facial progress.
Can we just remind everyone, just in case, because for anyone new listeners, Wiggins is the king of the non sequitur, and I think he's truly living up to his reputation here.
He's also famous for never posting anything he's going to post, so we'll see how he goes.
I'll put this up on the socials.
Promising to post stuff and it never happened, but that's fine, that's okay, you never know. He's obviously changing habits, he's putting face cream on for fuck's sake.
That's right. I have a dadectote, just very quickly. This is from my 12-year-old daughter. I have two. The first one, she sent me a TikTok video and then immediately said, "Oh my God, sorry, I sent that to the wrong person." And then said, "Anyway, I hope you're having a fun day. Please pretend I did not accidentally send you a photo of Woody twerking." So that's what she sent me.
Woody from Toy Story?
Woody from Toy Story.
Yeah,
I was thinking.
No, Woody from Toy Story, sadly.
Which one would be better?
Yeah, Woody Harrelson twerking. Yeah, for sure. Than that.
Cheese now, days. Is this somehow going to get turned into you being blamed for being awkward?
Pretty much. I mean, that's like kind of the second part of the story, is her ability to twist a situation into her favour, which was just she kicked something or broke something in a room and said, "Can you come and fix it?" She's got LED lights. That's what it was. So her LED lights were not working because she kicked the wire out. And I was doing something, working, and she came and demanded that I help. And so I was like, "I'm doing this." She said, "I just need to do it." And then I, you know, rah, 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 muttered under my breath and chanted my way into her room.
Nice.
And then
that urgent LED light.
Yes, exactly. And then I went in there and I said, "Well, okay." And I plugged them in and they're flashing. And I'm like, "Okay. So I need to reset them. So can I have your phone, please? Because it runs through her phone." And she said, "Just wait, I'm doing something." And I said, "What?" She said, "I'm doing something." I said, "You asked me in here to help." And she was like, "I know, but I'm doing something important."
Suddenly, said, Woody turns up on your phone.
Yeah.
What?
I said, you know what, Violet? You're when you're asking someone for help, or you, then that should be your number one priority. And she just stopped, looked at me, and she said, God, you're just a teacher sometimes. I was like, all right, goodbye.
I bet that's in the back pocket for. I bet that's in the back pocket for when she hasn't got anything else.
Yeah. So, give me such a teacher.
Can I just say, I loved your use of a very dad verb there of chunted.
Yeah. Chunting's great.
Chunting's a great verb.
Spend your life walking around, especially in lockdown, you spend a lot of time walking. Anytime someone asks you to do something.
That's awesome.
Getting back to Tim the Tool Man again, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
I tried to just start some paving because I got so sick of sitting in front of screens and trying to do a lot of just. I've been constantly on the screen, it felt like, for about 10 days. And I just stood up and went, right, going to get the paving done, and just went for it hell for leather without really.
Was this planned paving?
Well,
or
this is the.
Paving?
Here we go.
You didn't read the commandments, Ellis.
I didn't read the commandments. I did not realise that the know thy limits. I know that I can pave, but. I obviously don't have the equipment and the materials in order to do it successfully. So we've got a dug-up backyard at the moment with lots of bits and pieces everywhere, which is delighting my wife. But it gave me a good opportunity to get do some physical activity. And
but also, doesn't that help with the trenches that we were saying George should go and share?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and this is the thing. Five days. 5 days on the bog for Mr. Georgie, so he's
nice way, George.
Living the dream, just coming around and just decided, no, just doing it now. So this is the thing. I think that's a fantastic little lesson in there for everyone, like, you know, that became by not worrying about it and kind of following everyone's advice. If, you know, there is no adults walking around with nappies on still.
Well, there are, but they're choosing
to. It's a very small percentage. There's none
Donald
choosing
Trump
to,
was one of them, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it does happen. It just happens when they're ready, and I suppose just kind of letting that happen. It's a nice little moment. Yeah. I suppose it was a nice dad moment to see that he was capable of doing that.
I just?
You cancelled your order of mustard gas.
Just writing Wilfred Owen poetry. I've got a question for Monty.
Yes,
ask again, but how old is? Your daughter now.
So you've been 11 weeks.
So you've been a dad for 11 weeks. What advice would you give to new dads?
It's a great one.
Because now you're a dad. You're on the other side. Now you can be given advice all you want.
Yeah, that's a great question.
We could come back to it if you want to think about it.
Let him think about it, because next on the run sheet is woodchop stuff, which I'm pretty sure you don't want to cut into the time of.
Yeah, nice. All right, we'll come back to you, Monty. Think about it. Don't get distracted with the woodchop talk, if that's possible.
Sure. Hard to, but yes, I understand.
Maybe unplug. Maybe. I've got some woodchop talk.
You had a woodchop question for us, and which led to you sending us several kind
David
of
Foster.
David Foster related videos, which were way too long for us to watch.
When we looked at David Foster content maybe 4 years ago, when we went on a bit of a David Foster run between us, there wasn't much out there.
Sorry, for context, we used to do another podcast, and an episode was dedicated to David Foster at that time.
That is true, but I'm sure people could imagine we would just send each other David Foster stuff at any day, any hour.
So I didn't need to tell this podcast. Just one day we decided to dedicate a chunk of time to talking about David Foster between us.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
That wouldn't surprise me. But now there's a whole lot more David Foster content. Anyway, but I, much the same as Ellis, we were in quarantine for 2 weeks, which was just horrid. Just so bad. And then to get out in the fresh air has been great. And in a twist of fate, we had quite a big storm the night before we got out of quarantine. And then as we are allowed to, you know, walk the streets again, I've been finding like enormous branches that have fallen off trees. And there was one like, you know, 20 meters from our house. So I took my my little tomahawk out and hacked away some of the smaller branches and then carried the big fuck off one.
Did you back time into yourself?
No, but I should have.
Yes.
And then I got the big axe out and I chopped the huge branch into firewood. But here's my question for you. Is it too much if I go on a, which I have done, gone on a bigger walk, found an even better branch that had fallen off, obviously from the same storm, is it asking too much to drive my car to the end of a cul-de-sac, get out with a big axe, chop off some branches, and then put a big branch in the back of my car and then drive off?
Well, I don't know. Is that in the current health orders for... You can do outside recreation if you drive down a cul-de-sac and hack the fuck out of a branch.
You have a big fuck-off axe getting it out of your car.
Fulfilling lumberjack fantasies. I think that's part of it.
Is it Crown land? Is it our land? Is it the government's land? Do you own those branches? Whose branches are they? Surely
that's
we can,
a very good question.
You know, like, yes, maybe it is. Like, I think the libertarian in me thinks, yes, cut that tree down, take it home, burn it.
Well, it's not so much that like that idea. I'm just thinking of the image of you sitting at home on a quiet Thursday morning,
opening
and then seeing
your blinds.
seeing a man get out of his car with a big fuck off axe and
is
go marching off down your street.
Frame? Like, is there a time frame? So you're only allowed to mow your lawn between a certain amount of between certain hours. Are you only allowed to chop wood between a certain?
No, I don't think so. I think that's a good point. You think I should go in the middle of the night and do it?
Well, look, I'm just asking the question. I don't think you should do it in the middle of the night because anyone wandering the streets with an axe in the middle of the night is probably going to look a little bit more suspicious.
Probably worse, that's right, yeah.
Yet well protected.
Yeah. But do you
I'm
have...
I'm more worried...
Do you have a headlamp?
I'm more worried about swinging a big sharp axe in the dark. That's my concern. But all right, headlamp. All right, that's my next order. So if I order a headlamp... Then in the middle of the night.
Hey, just quickly to kind of tangent there, I've been barbecuing a lot lately and I noticed something my father had about 10 years ago. Oh, longer than that, 15 years ago when I lived at home. I thought, you're such a goober, old man. You have this stupid thing. But then I was like, fuck, I want one of those. It's a cap, just a regular cap, but on the underside of the cap is a flashlight that's connected to the hat. And it's fucking perfect for barbecuing. Yeah. It's like nice. The perfect dad barbecue hat. Anyway, back to the wood chopping, but it's just a great, you know, light in front of your face dad kind of hat.
You don't have outside lighting, Mont?
I choose to put my barbecue in the darkest area of the backyard.
But also, like, that's the thing, right? Like, it depends on where your lighting is, because when you're standing at the barbecue, there's every chance you could be throwing shadow
over the barbecue. Not meat shade.
That's the worst. And look, Father's Day's just gone. There's a golden opportunity missed for... asking for
I'd like that for a present. That's the kind of crap that you want, isn't it?
You know, I feel like we might have, like my mother and I might have given that to him as a Father's Day present many moon ago. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Reaction?
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if he went, what do I want this for?
And then later that afternoon when he fired up the barbecue, boom.
Yeah, loving it.
It all became
best present ever.
Mm, yeah.
Or when he went down a cul-de-sac looking for wood.
Oh, in the middle of the night.
The hat would work there
with a big axe.
Yeah.
That's right.
I have a confession, gentlemen. I bought an axe.
Ooh.
Hey.
I think you told us you were going to buy an axe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or did you tell us already that you bought an axe?
Well, I thought about buying an axe, but I didn't.
Yeah, right.
And then I did.
Yeah. There's nothing like buying an axe and just walking around a shop with a big axe.
Yep.
It's an odd feeling.
Yep.
Did you get a big axe?
I could be doing anything with this.
That's right.
I'm also buying a headlamp.
I think also to just wrap up your question there, Matt, like, am I allowed to go down this cul-de-sac? Is it socially acceptable?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're the one with the axe.
Yeah,
so if anyone's got a problem, they can kind of casually
wait
for you
to finish
your business.
They've got to argue with the man with the axe. Yeah, fair enough.
Now, can I ask specifics?
Particularly if you've drawn a mustache on yourself and have just given it some real David Foster work.
If I've got a singlet
white
on.
White singlet.
White singlet and a pillow.
Dunlop volleys.
Do you take a stool to stand on while you're actually chopping?
Oh, no. See, that's what I need. Yeah, you need that leverage, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not standing on the log while I'm chopping it. not yet, anyway. But, you know, give me a bit more practice.
Getting there.
And I will be, because it's bloody fun.
I think those neighbours want to know that there's a professional out there.
That's right.
I've just got the mental image of Matthew doing his David Foster impersonation, and it's giving me immense pleasure. But you end up looking more like a circus strongman from the 1900s.
I certainly do. That's very true. I've got a leopard skin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Little codpiece thing on your mankini on
with your moustache, like your twirly moustache.
Yeah, moustache. Yeah, yeah. It's very much like that. It's very much like and all I ever do is just chop. And go, bloody hell, this is hard to think. How much has David Foster chopped in this amount of time? It's unbelievable.
Well, quickly, while we've still got some time left, I've got one last thing on my rundown here, which is an Ellis Can Tell Us. It's a segment we've used in other projects previously. Ellis Can Tell Us, where we get just Rich to explain something that he has a lot of knowledge on to the rest of us. But before we get to that, is there any kind of dad-related stuff you want to tell us from being in quite a strict quarantine for 2 weeks, Matt? I mean, other than just being sick of bloody everybody.
Yeah, there's not much mining for content in quarantine. I think we did quite well. So it's actually quite boring. I think what it actually made everyone super aware of was like, let's all just be nice to each other. I think it becomes really, like you can sense it that you're like, well, we can't leave. And so, like I said, there's no funny stories. There's no real, real dadness.
I'd sit my own shit if I make some trouble here. So.
Yeah, that's right. So, and a lot of it was just how many days left, this many days, what can we do? Go on the trampoline. The best dad thing was we were going to get rid of that trampoline like 2 months ago. And because it hardly gets used, and that really helped us out in quarantine to just go, everyone, go and jump on the trampoline for however long and get it, do as much energy. I used it quite a bit. But yeah, no.
How's that a good dad move, though? That's just you being too lazy to do something you were going to do.
Perfect.
Isn't it?
Yep.
Perfect dad move.
Did you make the trampoline into a cubby house at any stage?
You know what? We didn't make it into a cubby house, but one of the nicest thing we did was take some blankets, pillows out there on a nice night and lay down. The girls laid out under the stars for a bit, talked about stars. But like I said, very, very little, very like zen-like after a while of just keep your mood in check. And then by the end of it, like I went for a run. And ran like a crazy person for, not for long because I was very unfit after 2 weeks. But just to get out was delightful. To get away from them after a while was very nice. I said, not much in the way of dadness.
I've been very impressed with my kids, I think, that in the lockdown thing. Like, I don't know how you guys are doing, but I'm pretty blown away by how little these poor little buggers are really kind of the ones who are copping the most, and they're going to continue to cop the most. And I'm just very impressed. So a big shout out to all the kids out there. I reckon you're doing an amazing job, and all those parents helping them out at home and everything. I think that there's a huge, it's a horrible bloody thing. And I think you're just doing phenomenally well. So congratulations.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that. My kids have just been kind of great about the whole thing. And you do sit there and wonder what kind of lasting psychological effect this will have, but there's, it seems that if there is going to be one, it's not kind of evident right now.
Yeah, and that I obviously there will be impacts, but it's a shared impact, and that's one grace I think to it all.
Yeah,
is that a shared impact is literally shared, and so is understood, and it's a shared experience. It's not like if it was just your family that had to go through it, then that would be like I said, quarantine was being in lockdown now is free. We're free to go for a walk and stuff like that. Yeah. It's an interesting change in mindset. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's have a little Ellis Can Tell Us. I don't know how much can be expanded here, but in our little Dad Pants group chat, Matt asked Rich, who is quite a good cook and has worked as a chef before. The question, can you explain why the Weber does a better crackle job on a roast pork crackling than the oven? And you gave us quite a lengthy and very detailed and interesting explanation there, Rich.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us a bit of an idea of that now, or...?
I can give you a quick overview. So basically the big thing with, I suppose, barbecue cooking is that you're eliminating most of the moisture. There's basically you're cooking the moisture straight off it because it's done at such a high, consistent temperature. And that's what you want for good crackling. So that's essentially why the barbecue does such a great job of the crackling. Do you want me to talk about how you can get your oven crackling up to par, though? Because I prefer doing it in the oven because I find that you get a more consistent and succulent cut of meat, as well as if you do it right, you can get...
You're the expert, bro. You tell us what we need to do.
Well,
and you don't need the barbecue hat.
No,
you don't need the barbecue hat. But
with regular lights.
Oh, I'm having a lot of trouble with my oven at the moment, though, so I might have to have a chat with Wiggins about this one.
Going to be my question, Ellis, is what, like, because you've got to have a good oven to be able to crank it up to the heat that you need it to be at. And if you don't have a good oven, that's got to make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And I think the oven is all important, and clean oven is another thing. So you want to make sure that your oven's clean, because if it doesn't, you just smoke out the whole house. There's a few little extra tidbits that you need to kind of follow along. But the big thing is keeping it as dry as possible. So taking it out of the fridge I do it at least an hour before I'm planning on cooking it. So you really want to bring the core temperature of the meat up to room temperature so that it's not going to sweat in the oven or anywhere else. So bring the meat up to temp and then make sure that you pat that skin dry after you've poured scalding water over the top of it. So
now, tell me more about the scalding water, Ellis.
So the scalding water is just removing any of the impurities from the skin. Once again, any bits and pieces that are on the skin or in around the meat are going to trap moisture. You want to try and eliminate as much opportunity for any moisture to live on this skin as possible. So scalding it is cleaning it, and it's also going to... the steam helps to dry it really well as well. So you're going to get all those little crevices and stuff. You're going to get little pools of it, which is where your padding with a good bit of paper towel comes in. But for everything else, for the majority, all of the nice smooth surfaces are going to be steam dried really quickly.
Now, I just want to go into the minutiae of, like, pork specifically.
Yep.
And
pork minutiae.
Knife work. Because to actually create, like, to cut the fat on the top of the pork, you need, like, how sharp is your knife, Ellis? Like, if you dropped it on your foot, you'd cut your whole foot off, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But what I'd recommend you do, and this is a really good blokey dad tip, making you feel as though you're not, definitely keeping those dad pants on while doing that, is to get your Stanley knife. And so get a clean blade, and then you can position your blade so it's just... You probably want it to be positioned about 7 mils, I reckon, is about my kind of preferred depth, because you don't want to cut into the meat. You only want to just be scoring the skin. Mm. So if you use a Stanley knife with a nice fresh blade, and then you've got that consistent cut going all the way along it. So if you can get an unscored piece of pork, you're doing well. But most of them come scored already. That's all right. You can top it up a bit. But using the Stanley knife is a really good option for trying to get that consistency with your cuts, so you're not going to go too deep. It depends on the thickness of the fat you've got underneath as well. But kind of anywhere between 3 to 4 mil up to 7 mil is about pretty good depth with your Stanley
knife. That's great. The Stanley knife is an exceptional advisory piece. Well done.
Yeah, no, it's a good tool.
Do you have a specific kitchen Stanley knife?
No, I change it. I put a fresh blade on when I'm doing it.
Okay, yeah. Kitchen blade.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I just make sure that I'm not putting all of the paint scraps and everything else in there as well.
Yes.
Well, they hold moisture.
Add impurities.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And lead. Yeah.
So after that, of course, make salt is your friend. plenty of nice salt on there. I've experimented lots with different kind of rubs and, you know, fennel seed and pepper and stuff. But at the end of the day, a good layer of salt is going to see you through really, really well.
It can't be beat, can it?
No. And then, yeah, start it with a really nice hot oven, like pretty much as hot as you can get it, 230, 240, and whack it in for a good 20 minutes. And it's not going to look like crackling at this point, so you can't freak out. So once you take that out, so drop the temp back down again. You can chuck your veggies and everything in at that time as well. Drop it down to about 180. So for your cook time, so I aim for around about, depending on how solid the piece of meat is and whether it's got a bone and stuff, usually about 15 to 20 minutes per 500 grams. And then at the end, back in nice and hot. But what you can do, you don't actually have to put it in the oven. You can actually put it on the grill setting on the oven, but then
so dangerous.
Down below. Yeah, it's dangerous, but it's very good. I've done it. I do that with my pork belly. So when I'm doing a pork belly, I do it a bit different. I actually leave it coated in salt overnight. So I put about a centimeter of rock salt over the top of the pork belly
overnight.
And leave that to sit overnight.
Jesus.
And then you actually...
Wow. When are we getting out of lockdown and going to Alice's house?
Well, that's what I was going to say. This is our first ever Dad Pants live shows in Mildura for some reason.
Yeah.
And you cover the pork belly with salt overnight and make an appointment with the cardiologist for the morning?
Well, pretty much, yeah. So you actually cook it with the salt on, and then you scrape it off. And then, so that's a slow cook for about 3.5 hours. And then you scrape the salt off, and then you put it back under that grill setting. And you put the meat well below the grill and just let that radiate heat come down. And you just get this beautiful, puffy, crispy crackling sitting on top.
Oh, God. So,
Buckland's noise.
Yeah.
I think on that note, we're going to have to say goodbye.
We need to have a lie down.
Shuffle off and think about that for a bit. But, you know, Rich, I know you love being a teacher, but do you miss being a chef at all? Like, you speak with passion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that for me, being the chef was all about the camaraderie. That was the big thing. It was about being in with that kind of team mindset is incredibly awesome when you've got a good team around you, and I think that's the big thing I miss. But I miss the food. It's a great way to spend your day.
If only it was 9 to 5.
Yeah, there's ways and means around it. I was always quite happy to be somewhere where I was happy, but the hours were the killer.
Oof. And the salt.
All right, guys. Thank you very much, Dad on, fellas. Appreciate your time once again.
Dad on.
And
I'm going out. I'm going out to chop some wood in the night.
Nice. Yeah, do that. If you've got any questions that Ellis can tell us, we'll get them going as well.
Cool.
Farewell, everybody.
Good night.
Take care.
Bye-bye now. Bye.
Nice one.
Yeah, jeez. Jeez.
Ah, canal.
Oh, I want some salty pork belly now.
Far out. Ellis, I need a new oven as well.
Are we getting too obscure with David Foster? People know who David Foster is, surely. Yeah.